Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter, and welcome to my website and my ministry, Wake Up America Church. It's a voice calling out into America to just sound the horn and to scream at the top of my lungs that Jesus is coming back, and us being silenced behind the pulpits and leaving Jesus at the door on Sunday and not carrying him the rest of the week is not going to do. Ain't going to cut it no more, guys. So we need to wake up. And if you guys are just joining this, I guess, podcast or how you want to view it, you can check my description at the very front of this website. And I got devotionals, I got Bible studies. Do a Bible study on Saturday night on for an MP3. He used to do it on Facebook, but I'm figuring Facebook is probably going to start regulating a lot of stuff. So I created this website, and I can post articles, and of course, it's a way you guys can contact me without Facebook blocking you or stopping you from contacting me through email. Of course, my phone number's there, and working on getting a mailing address on there, so if you guys want to write a letter, or I don't ask for money, but if you may want to send money and you know, to help this ministry, everything is self-funded. So this is a preaching spiritual warfare sermon series. This is not my first time doing it on this website. I have an old one that's been posted. This website's probably about a year old now. And I wanted to revisit it and go through spiritual warfare and do a sermon series. Last week, went over spiritual warfare part one. And that is basically what we were trying to give you a definition, or how I kind of define spiritual warfare. It's a rough definition, but how I look at it, spiritual warfare is a close examination, looking at it close, guys, of the battles, especially us believers, will face every day, that clearly indicates a war, an invisible war around us that we cannot see, which is invisible, but we can see the physical consequences in this world. And, of course, this is a working definition. And the second part of that is when we recognize, you can hear my little dog going off in the living room over there. But when we are going through the spiritual warfare, and we're recognizing the battle, then we start preparing ourselves. We start gearing our mind as soldiers to know when we walk out those doors into this world that we will be faced with things, and that we have to gear up. We have to armor up, right? You know, Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, especially 11, put on the full armor of God. That of course, you use the old King James language that you may, but as we can, if we put it more in modern translation, we can withstand, that we can stand against the wiles, the cunning schemes of our enemy. And that's the whole point. And a lot of times you don't really hear many messages preached on spiritual warfare, so it's very important for us to recognize that the ones you do hear, they're not teaching it correctly. They are it's highly inflated and not biblical, or deflated and not biblical. Usually the extreme, and usually the below stream there. So tonight we will be looking at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. That's kind of be our key passage tonight. Kind of recap from last week, just recognizing that we have two sides when we're looking at spiritual warfare. We have a good and we have an evil. We have God and we have Satan. We have angels. We have demons. And, you know, most of the time we can't see these two forces in play within the spiritual realm. However, these sides are manifest within the spiritual, in the physical world that we can see and hear. And, you know, I love giving examples of what's going on in today's climate, because it kind of hits the nail, or the hammer hits the nail right on there. When you're looking at the rioting and looting going on, and of course you have Black Lives Matter, and all, and of course most of us know that Antifa, which is now which always has been, is a organized kind of terrorist group to cause social upheaving, to rip the fabric and cause chaos among the cities. And that's where you get the burning of buildings and the removing of statues. It's all, and of course, we know we don't war against flesh and blood, but against what, principalities and powers. So this is the thing. When we look at that, we know, yes, some of them may know what they're doing. Others probably don't. They're just acting off an impulse. They don't realize who or what is pulling the strings to make them do that. Clearly, spiritual warfare. Sexual immorality, such as cohabitation, that is basically with two couples. You would say different sex, but now you could go to same sex, living together, having sex together, and not being married. And then you have this thing called open marriage, which has been around for about 10 years now or longer. Is basically you can be married and you can sleep with as many partners as you want. And of course, I touched a little bit on the homosexual relationships in the marriage, and who would you think that in America that homosexuality would be, to get married, would be legal. And if the enemy had, or has, if, well, the enemy is trying to get where people like me that will preach against it, that we should be locked up and thrown in the deepest parts of the jail or prison, and the key thrown away, which could be a real realization one day. So when we look at all this, and man, and even I can go on and on, sex trafficking. I was reading an article a few weeks ago. This FBI agent, FBI agent who's helping with cases of sexual trafficking, he said a child is abducted and sold every 30 seconds. And you would think, okay, well, that might be in India or China or Russia or some third world country. No, guys, it's in America. A child is abducted and sold every 30 seconds in America. This is evil. And then you go down and you look at all the networking of television shows and movies where they're promoting pedophilia. And when you look at Disney, which people get very offensive when you start talking about Disney, because you're tapping in to something that... There's like something outside making noise, but the I'm out here in the country, so go figure. But you look at Disney and how they have indoctrinated our children in their cult. If you look at Disney, it deals with a lot of magic, and they deal with the mystical kind of magic and the cultive magic, and guess they're not targeting the adults, they're targeting our children. They're trying to make touching the other side. Let me get my dog. So, trying to touch the other side to make it look popular. So, Disney, they mask that around, and they make it look appealing for the children, and how the devil operates is in slow fades or slow steps. He chips away at the foundation slowly, And gradually, what you're having today is now a full-blown, we're trying to wonder why our kids, we're losing our kids. We're trying to wonder why our nation is in turmoil. It simply has been because we have taken God out of everything. And that is a sad and heartbreaking thing to really put that in perspective. So when we look at this, it's all spiritual warfare. And what today I want to examine the several key points that is critical to spiritual warfare by looking at Genesis' account of Adam and Eve. So when we look at Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 7. Let me try to get my dog, or she'll be quiet. So, verse 1. Now the spirit was more than the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, haven't God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but to the fruit of a tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Sorry about that, guys. I had to, my dog was going crazy, and I had to get her in the bedroom. So when we're looking at Genesis here, 1 through 7, and where did I stop at it? Verse 5. For God do not know in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, and knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she ate of it. And she gave also unto her husband with her, who did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity just to go into your word. To thank you for just having the freedom, Lord, to be able to preach your word. To be able to go into a building and worship and praise your holy name and among our brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray, Lord, you be with this sermon tonight, that it reaches whoever ears that should hear it tonight, that they realize that we're in a spiritual war and that we have to prepare ourselves mentally and physically for it. Realize we have been quiet way too long. It's time for us to let our voices be heard and to take our children back and to stand on the word of God, regardless what it may cost us. Lord, I pray that you just be with, of course, us in Louisiana, with the still recovering from the hurricane. There's many will be recovering all the way up to next year, Lord. It was devastating. Lord, I pray, Lord, you know what's going on all around in our nation, Lord. Over in California, you have the wildfires, and fires are burning, and people are losing everything. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with our nation and with all this crazy looting and rioting and the coronavirus and all this, Lord. And we have a presidential election coming up, Lord. Lord, I pray you be with our government, Lord, and that you raise up true men and women within the government that will stand on the word of truth, that will point this nation back to God, where we would be a nation under God, not a nation above God. Because when we're in God's will, our nation is blessed and thrives. But many, many years now, we have 100 plus years maybe, we have turned our back slowly on God with our schools and with our government and with our education system, Lord. Pray, Lord, that a revival breaks loose and that it revives our nation to turn back to God and to put God in every place that we have taken him out of. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we're looking at Genesis 3 here, guys, 1 through 7. I hope I didn't butcher it too bad. I was distracted with my dog, so. But you guys can go back and look at those scriptures. Kind of a backdrop here. God created this world. God called it good, and it was. God created man, then woman. They were supposed to keep this garden, have children, and live what we could say happy ever after. But God gave them one commandment. Do not eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You would think that was a no-brainer. You know, you got an awesome environment. No pain, no suffering. Sweet deal. But that old serpent, Satan, is a master deceiver. And he is the father of all lies. And he deceives them. What God called good became curse, and then we have the fall of man. So what really went down? What should we take from this historical account as children of God? And what I wanted to hit tonight is this. The devil hasn't changed his tactics. His tactics are always the same. They don't deviate. And the more we study the Word of God, when we look at this account, and you can even go back in Matthew and look how Jesus handles Satan. That's Matthew 4. If I have some time, I will look at those passages too. But so I want to go in about three things here that we should not do with the enemy that even Adam did. Well, particularly Eve, but Adam followed in line with her. First one is we should never enter into conversation with Satan and his demons. When we look at verse 1 in Genesis 3, we are told the serpent, the snake, now the serpent was more so, he was smart, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hadn't God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That was a question that he posed her. And the woman said, that was the first mistake. Satan asked her a question. Then she was willing to respond. See, Satan wants to engage in a conversation with you and me. He don't deserve our time. He don't deserve any conversation. Never be fooled that Satan is not smart and very cunning. If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 12, tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, guys. He's highly organized. And as I was giving examples of, you know, the invisible war that is manifest in physical, you can see the rioting and the looting, and you can see those groups tearing down statues and setting places on fire. There's accounts where they were burning churches. Demonic. Flesh and blood. But the demonic hosts are pulling their strings. And I want to tell you, I understand. Before I came back to God, I let Satan pull my strings and just control me. And if you guys know some of my story, it's not really about what I went through. It's all about pointing to Jesus. Is I tried to take my life, and in that night, I could hear all kind of voices just screaming at me, yelling at me, telling me, what's the use? What's the point in it? And I was agreeing with them. I went in conversation with them. And I want to tell you today, the first error that any believer can make is going into dialogue with Satan on their own. He wants you to conversate with him. So it's very important, guys, to understand when we are hearing these voices through our in this battle, to be able to distinguish the voice of Satan and the voice of God. John 10, verse 10 tells us, "The thief come not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." See, the thief, which is Satan, he wants to destroy you. And he will use every means at his disposal to make that happen. Also, we know he is a father of lies. He wants to deceive you as he deceived Eve. And I will tell you, I've said this in time past, even Adam probably were some of the most smartest people on, because they were the first. And I believe their intelligence were beyond what we could recognize. You know, I think how, you know, because when we look at the mind, and I'm kind of a geek, when we look at the mind, and most of them you'll see we only use about 10% of our brain, our mind. Where did that stop? Because at one time, we probably could use 100%, and I'm pretty sure Adam and Eve probably could use more than 10% of their brain, probably 100%. So they were very intelligent, but Satan was able to deceive them. So that gives you a kind of indication that he is a deceiver. And when you're dealing with somebody that is so deceptive and so intelligent on that mark, you don't want to come at him. You don't want to engage him in conversation. So when you're hearing voices like you're not loved, you're not good enough, life is useless, just end it. You just start hearing these voices, and they're so negative. You know, it's just one television show. Nobody's around. It's only one porno site on the internet. Your wife and kids are asleep. It's only one glance when a girl is jogging with nothing on, hardly anything on, and a lustful look. It's only one look. And you're like, okay. Or it could be a woman who is, you know, in her marriage is struggling, and she goes to the gym and she sees this guy who's all into her, and it's only one conversation, it's only one dinner, it's only one drink. That's how the devil operates, lie after lie. He presents that there for you. And when you hear these negative voices like you're not good enough, you're not loved, you must immediately know that this is not the voice of truth. This is not the voice of God. And when you're sinning and you hear the voices that tell you it's okay, keep on doing, nobody knows about it, God knows about it. God would never tell you to keep sinning. Immediately, as a child of God, your heart should break even when you are sinning. Because a child of God, the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit when you sin. But you see, our Jesus, he tells us not to believe these lies. He wants us to have a life that's filled with all his promises. that God loves you beyond what we recognize, what you can fully realize, that God will never leave you or me or forsake us, that God will keep us through every valley. He will provide the strength to endure all the trials and temptations if we let Him. And we recognize that voice is coming through our mind is not of God. It's negative. It brings you down. David put it this way in Psalms chapter 23, verse 4. Yea, thou walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, God will never tell you you're not loved. God will never tell you you're not good enough. You see, God will never tell you that life is meaningless and end it. God will never leave you hopeless. God will not fill you with a spirit of fear. He will give you the love and power and sound mind. He will give you peace and joy in all the chaos around us. He is in control. We are His children. One day soon He will be coming back for us. So we should not lose hope. We should grip on the truth that is God is right there. For when we understand that, and we understand that He's right there, and we understand that His nature is that sin grieves His spirit and should grieve our spirit. And when we do, we break fellowship with God. And this fellowship breaks God's heart. And then it allows Satan to wiggle himself into our lives. And he starts hitting us with those wiles, those schemes, those traps. And we can fall for them. Even Adam did. We should know. And one way to know is to get in the Word of God. To pray daily. And I'm not talking about 5-10 minutes. I'm saying praying without ceasing. It's waking up in the mornings before you go to work. Or if you work a night shift. Get up 30 minutes early. A word God lay on your heart to do. And pray. Listen to worship music. Get your mind in sync. Look at a few scriptures. And then throughout the day, just carry that prayer in your heart. When you're walking, there's what I call walking praying. When you're walking to the bathroom, just you can be in prayer. You don't have to say it out loud. You say, oh Lord, thank you for allowing me to walk and to function. Lord, thank you for letting me have a job. Thank you, Lord. And a prayer in our heart and a praise on our lips. A song. It could be an old hymn like the old Rugged Cross or Amazing Grace. Or you might be into some contemporary music that points to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. Some get so dogmatic on it. They're praising Jesus. What's wrong with you? They probably praise Jesus more than you do. And you want to say, oh, you can only worship God through the old hymns. No, it's the old hymns are awesome, but the new hymns are cool too, man. Praise Jesus. Chris Tobley, Zach Williams. List goes on and on. I love the old hymns. I keep an old hymn book by my prayer altar. And I'll flip and I was raised in the poor South, and you had the fans in the windows, and you had the old hymn books. And I love the old hymns, but I also love to listen to some contemporary music, contemporary Christian music. Zach Williams is probably one of my favorite. He just there's some songs just like Chain Breaker and Heaven Help Me and Face to Face. Just beautiful songs. Helps me a lot of times, but I'm just don't know what to do. praise him. Praise and worship is such a beautiful thing. So, and the enemy don't like it when you praise and worship. Because he can't do nothing with a person. You know, I think of Paul, Silas, and when they were in that prison, and they were beaten and stripped down to nothing and thrown in that cell, and they were praying and singing, and that, you know, the prison just, you know, there's comfort within the trials. My heart, I think of that, and I pray my heart is that way. If I was thrown in prison or jail, that I could still pray and sing hymns. So I wrap my mind around that and do a lot of meditating and praying on that, and sometimes fasting. Okay, the second, we should never, ever allow Satan to plant thoughts about God's goodness. Psalms 34 verse 8 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Do not entertain thoughts that go against the goodness of God." Adam and Eve were caught in this deception. You see, Satan was presenting the fruit that God told them not to take as if God was holding something back, something good. By doing this, he was able to plant the thought that God is not good. And believe it or not, it continues today. You see all the chaos in this world. It's not God's fault. God created a perfect and beautiful world. We are the blame. But it's either blame someone else, right? You see in the Genesis account, Eve blamed the serpent. Adam blamed Eve. Adam blamed Eve, and that God gave Eve to him. Instead, they didn't take the blame for their own actions. It's the same behavior today. We want to blame somebody else. And that is flesh. And that is demonic. And when we look at everything that's going around, and we're like, why would God allow all this? Why would God allow that? And you'll see people that will fall from the faith just asking those questions. And it's sad because whoever their preacher was, maybe they weren't listening. They weren't teaching the scriptures like they should. And some would say, why will a loving God send people to hell? So let's not preach on hell. It's really simple. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Adam and Eve allowed the sin, the original sin, into the world. And we are living under the curse. So when we truly open our hearts to God, God comes in. That's awesome. But we still have to live in this world, this fallen world. And we still have to experience many things in this life, which can be very unpleasant. We lose loved ones. We experience pain, back pain, knee pain. Our kids get sick. Sometimes they die. Abortion is real. Mothers kill their children. But as a child of God, we know that we can experience so much more when this life is over with. We know through it all, or we should know, that life is only temporary. One day our life will end on this earth. And we will never have to experience all this pain and suffering again. Because our God is good. And he has prepared a place for his children. John 14 verse 1 through 3 says this. Let not your trouble. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare you a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that when I am there, ye may be also. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise. See, Jesus had to leave. Of course, he left the Holy Spirit for us. He left to prepare us a mansion one day. And I know I can't wait for it. Remember when you're getting hit with all the lies about God's goodness? You need to recognize that this is the enemy. He's trying to trip you up. Memorize the promises like this one in John 14, verse 1 through 3. And there's many others that demonstrates the goodness of our God. You see, we deserve a devil hell, but God sent Jesus to die for our sins. And in that blood that was shed and through the resurrection and Him ascending to heaven and leaving the comfort, the Holy Spirit for us to comfort us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us, we can stop that by breaking the fellowship with the Holy Spirit and can leave our life in shambles and misery. Remember, when the devil is trying to tell you God's not good, at that time, lean on God's word. Lean on the truths of the gospel. One of the truth is all the suffering in this world does not compare to what God has prepared for those He loves. You counter Satan's lies through the Holy Spirit inside you. That lies and deception with God's truth. When you're feeling like your life is useless, get on your knees to God. Because you get a passion, a fire for the Word of God. And make your life a prayer, that a prayer warrior. And when you do that, you put the Holy Spirit inside you will rise up. God doesn't want a part-time Christian. He wants a full-time Christian. When you do that, the Holy Spirit with inside you, and when you use the Word of God, you're not going into conversation with the devil. Basically, you're rebuking him, and you're not letting him counteract. A conversation is a two-way avenue. You rebuke the devil through the blood, to the authority that is in you, through the Holy Spirit, and that should be it. He should flee. If he comes back trying to talk to you, then your prayer life, your Bible praying, your Bible study is not doing it, in the sense that your heart is not into it. Because at that point, I know from a fact, he will leave. Because I do that, not because I have any authority. It's because the Holy Spirit, and that I do read the Bible, I do memorize scripture, and I pray a lot, and I pray without ceasing. See, the devil, he don't know what to do with somebody like that. It scares him. And that was the second one. We're already into about 40 minutes here. So, the third point that I'm going to hit just briefly is this. And I kind of already talked about it. Is we should never let Satan create doubt on God's word. When God tells us something, especially through his word, we should not let Satan create doubt in our minds. Like on the promises. When God tells you that he is good, when he tells you that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, he will be right there with you, that is God's word, and he will not. And then it tells us that count it joy when we're going through trials and tribulation, because this grows us into discipleship and to be the light in and within the darkness. That's important. You know, when we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 3 here, and I'll read to 5, it said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, that it was God's word. God said, God's word, you should not eat of it, neither should you touch it. And he said, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know that in that day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we clearly see that the woman went into dialogue with Satan. And we can see that she started buying into those lies of that God was trying to hold something back. And through having her question what God placed, tell them clearly not do because it was for their good, the enemy was able to influence her to take the fruit because she allowed it. And she took of the fruit, and when she took of the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and he took of the fruit, that sin, that horrible cancer that entered this world. And that's when we look at all this stuff around us. And the good news, and I love talking about the good news, is that Jesus, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, and the blood that was shed, and the resurrection, and of course, him ascending to back to heaven. Of course, he left to comfort the Holy Spirit with us, to comfort us and to guide us and direct us. We allow him to guide us and direct us. But he said he's coming back soon. And I know most preachers, probably before I was even born, they have been saying that. But I want to tell you, when you look at the signs of the times, when you look at, I do a lot of studying of eschatology, that's the study of the end times, and we are getting close to the coming of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we know that the devil will try to, I guess, increase his demonic activity as much as he can. So when we recognize how he comes at us, and how we can counter through the Word of God, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next month. I'll be breaking down the armor of God, starting first with your loins girt with the belt of truth, or the loins girt with the belt, which I call the belt of truth. And we're going to go down all the way down to prayer, to understand that we have all these pieces that we can use to counter anything Satan can his with. But the key I want you guys kind of take tonight is this: do not enter conversation with the devil. Don't allow him to create doubt about God's goodness, and do not let him have you question God's word. He operates off those three principles. And when he can ease himself in there, he can work his way through your life, and you can reap so much chaos from that. So understand that we don't need to do these things. And understand that we are in a spiritual war, and that we are supposed to prepare for battle. And you can clearly see that all around us, good and evil. It breaks my heart. If you guys follow this ministry, I talk about abortion. It breaks my heart to think of abortion and all the kids that have been killed, babies, over 60 plus million children in America aborted. That should break your heart. And in Louisiana, we have the Love Amendment on the ballot this year. I encourage, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, I encourage, vote for life. Road and Way may not ever be overturned, but in Louisiana, we can stand and protect the rights of the unborn children. hope this helped. I hope this shed a little more light on spiritual warfare. If you guys have any questions, just contact me through my website, on Facebook. I have a spiritual warfare Bible study. I think it should be about, it's going to be a year Bible study. I think I got 4 posted so far on my website. All you have to do is hit the spiritual warfare Bible study. That will give you a ton of more information to break down where you want to do a detailed study on spiritual warfare, and encourage you guys to do that. And of course, to look at the scriptures, especially in Genesis here 3:1-7. And I would also encourage you guys to look at Matthew 4 when Satan tempts Jesus, and exactly what he did. He didn't go in conversation with the devil. He rebuked him and he fled. Well, three accounts, but it was, when you look at it, it's pretty amazing. Of course, everything Jesus did was amazing, but we can learn. We can learn so much, because the enemy, he don't change his tactic, guys. He's the same thing over and over. It's just when we don't study, and we don't want to recognize that we're in a spiritual war, and that there is good and evil all around us. So if you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, forgive me where I may have failed in teaching and preaching this message tonight, Lord. Lord, pray that I didn't say anything that's not scriptural, and that I pray, Lord, that this message reaches whoever's out there that needs to hear it, Lord. I pray, Lord, it encourages them to and motivate them to study and to study more of the Word of God, the Bible, and to pray more and to have a desire to go out there and witness to others before the time is up. Lord, I pray that it creates a fire in their souls, and that they just want to go to church and they want to be part of the church and be part of outreach and reaching other people through their church to bring them in those doors so they can hear the Word of God, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with our nation, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with all the people in California that have the wildfires and, all the bad weather has been hitting Louisiana and all around us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our brothers and sisters in the third world countries are being persecuted for the name of Christ, losing their lives, Lord. My heart hurts for them, Lord. I pray those that are in the hospital, and that I know people in the hospital, Lord, that just need your hope and your presence, Lord, during their time of sickness, Lord. I pray, Lord, the little babies that are in the hospitals and they're struggling, Lord. We pray that your hand's on their lives, Lord, and that you just give the parents strength to endure. Lord, we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of the weekend, or week. I want weekend, so Friday's probably one of my favorite days of the week. Sunday's my favorite, oh, that's not even a word. My most favorite day of the week. But love you guys. Y'all have a good night.